A group of scavengers wandered the streets, checking in shops which had been looted, destroyed by the weather, or destroyed by the dead, looking for supplies. They had spent almost 3 days exploring the streets, looking for food, medicines, anything that they could get their hands on which would benefit their community. They had come from the Reborn, leaving Mary King's Close and making their way along the Royal Mile and then along Southbridge. The roads were littered with abandoned vehicles, dead bodies and goods from shops covering the streets. Along Southbridge, the road was almost impassable, due to the amount of rusting vehicles which had failed to leave the city as the outbreak happened. Julia, Jake, Richards and Tina weaved their way through the vehicles, ensuring to keep an eye out for lone scabbies which would be lurking in the shadows of a car or a bus. As they passed, skeletal bodies still sat in some of the vehicles, forever sitting in a traffic jam that would never move. Some vehicles still had scabbies locked into their chairs, unable to get freed as they clawed at the air, aimless as the group walked past. They would leave them. If they didn't pose an issue, then there was no point putting themselves at risk. They had spent 2 days slowly making their way along the road, checking in shops, trying to weave their way through cars and survive the constant downpours, having to find shelter to not get soaked through. Eventually, after 3 days of searching, the group happened across a large car park which seemed to stretch for miles, only a few cars sitting idle in spaces forever forgotten and left to nature. At the far end of the car park stood a massive structure which towered above them. Tattered banners hung from the roof. Images of rugby players watched over the empty car park. A few hundred bodies littered the ground around the base of the building, rotting and falling apart as the rain battered down. A pool of brown mush had formed around them, creating a toxic-looking puddle. Julia watched for a moment to ensure that there was no one around. It didn't look like anyone had been around for a while. Then she made her move. Running, crouched and low, ducked down behind one of the few cars. She waited before gesturing the rest of the group to do the same. She didn't like to be out in the open, just in case there was someone watching. She peered through a smashed window in the car and waited as three scabbies shambled past the door before disappearing around the back of the building. She gestured the team to move again, and they reached the wall of the stadium.
Right. This is the place. I reckon in there we should be able to find food and something to use as weapons.
Bit of a long shot, don't you think? Surely it will have been ransacked already.
Not necessarily. And besides, this is the furthest out we've come and I don't want to go back empty-handed. Rose would kill us.
If the dead don't get us first.
Hey, that sort of attitude does not help in a situation like this. You and Richards go that way and try and find a way in. Radio us if you find anything. Tane and I will go this way.
You got it, boss.
Hey, don't be a smart arse. Just do it as you're told.
I wasn't. Yeah, fine, whatever. Don't you want...
The team split up, with Jake and Richards running around to the right of the building to look for a way in, and Julia and Tina ran to the left to do the same. After a few moments, Jake and Richards reached a fire door which sat under a balcony. It had a thick chain wrapped around the handles.
I remember coming here as a kid with my dad to see Wales play. I think they were playing Scotland. It was a good match.
Who won?
Wales, I think. I can remember the stadium being filled to the rafters with supporters. And every time they got a try, the place just erupted. It was like nothing I've ever heard before.
No, I have heard a few bands here, and it's a great place to hear live music, you know. And here the sound is just, it's incredible. It's really... pretty great. Anyway, let's try these doors here. Bollocks. Hey, maybe we can get up there. Pull that boon over and... Yeah, you'll have to give me a boost.
All right, Indiana. You think you can climb that? Seems a wee bit high.
Don't be a wuss, just pull the boon over. Give me a boost up. Once I'm up there, I'll pull you up. And done. Then we're both up.
For God's sake, fine.
Richards pulled a large green bin over to the door, the rusted wheels scraping on the concrete, and Jake winced at the sound. Jake was already standing on the bin as Richards scrambled up, breathless. Richards clasped his hands together and lowered them down to Jake's feet, who'd stood on them, Richard's lifting him up, straining on the
Jesus Christ, how much do you weigh?
All muscle, baby.
Aye, okay. Just help me up.
Julia? Hello, come in, Julia.
Receiving. What is it, Cheek?
We're inside. The doors are locked, but we managed to pull a bin over and climb up from there, so if you want to come over to us, then we could help you up.
Roger that. Hang tight, we'll be on our way.
No shit, Sherlock.
No shit what?
You're going to help them up. They won't get up there any other way, will they, you soft twat?
You're an actual idiot sometimes, you know
that? As the two men were bickering, Julia and Tina came jogging around the corner and noticed them on the balcony. Jake waved like a child seeing their parents on a school play, and Julia shook her head in disappointment.
Here they come. Give me a hand, Tina. I'll pull you. Oh, there you go.
Oh, of course. You don't comment on their weight, you dick.
Stop being such a baby.
Oh, will you two give it a rest?
The men helped Julia and Tina up over the barriers and the group were reunited. They looked around to make sure no one was hiding in the shadows before making their way to the set of fire doors.
Hold on! We don't know what's on the other side of that door.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Jesus! Will you just wait a second? Guys, get ready. We don't know what's beyond this point. We have to be ready for anything. On my mark, open the doors. 3, 2...
Wait. Are we going on one or are we going on go?
Oh, for fuck's sake! Just shut up! We go on go, okay?
Okay, I was just checking.
3, 2, 1...
The door burst open and Jake stumbled forward and looked up. Surrounding them were makeshift buildings and tents stretching around the stadium. People moving around, going about their daily tasks, selling food and wares. In the centre of the field stood 3 large shipping containers stacked on top of one another. A rickety set of rusted iron stairs led up to the top of the 3 containers. They were surrounded by smaller tents and buildings made from corrugated sheets of metal. The floodlights illuminated the stadium, filling the area in a dull white glow. Julia looked around, her mouth hung open in shock. Patrolling along the roof of the stadium, she could see men and women holding rifles, pacing back and forth, keeping a watch over this small town.
What the hell is this? I thought you said this place was empty.
Obviously I was wrong.
I think we need to go now.
I think you might be right.
The group turned to leave, but the door they came through was now blocked by 2 men. One was a mountain of a man. A long, perfectly trimmed beard hung from his face. His large, muscular arms, covered in tattoos, were bulging out from underneath his tight black t-shirt. He wore a pair of sunglasses on top of his bald head. The other was built very much the same, but he didn't have a beard or as many tattoos. They were an ominous-looking sight as the group staggered back, surprised by their presence.
State your business.
We are scavengers. We're just looking for supplies, that is all. But we can see that this place is occupied, so we will just leave.
Well, you're pretty well kitted out for scavengers. Where'd you come from?
Nowhere. Just trying to survive like everyone else.
We just left the city. Bit too hectic there, you know. With all the dead being there.
Jake, shut it. I do the talking.
Yeah, Jake. Shut the fuck up. Now, as you didn't answer the question, tell me, have you got a community?
No, just us. Just our little group.
Really? Well, I think he would like to meet you. Maybe, if you're lucky, he'll let you live just long enough to become part of our little community. Now move it.
The group were ushered down the stairs towards the field, the mammoth men walking behind them, pushing them as they slowed down. Slowly they reached the field. The grass felt dry underfoot and crunched slightly as they stepped on it. They reached the container and the first guard barged past Jake, bashing into his arm and jogged up the metal steps, his footsteps echoing through the stadium. The second guard stood behind the group staring at them, chewing gum loudly, screwing his face up as he sized them up. The first guard banged on the door loudly.
Hey boss, you've got some scavengers out here. Said they're looking for supplies.
Come in.
Thank you, Davis. I'll take it from here.
Yes, sir. Good luck.
The room was large, and filing cabinets lined the walls. At the far end of the room stood a large metal desk, rusted and dented. It had seen much better days. In front of the desk sat two rickety wooden chairs. A light bulb hung from the ceiling, giving off a dull glow, making the room look even more ominous. Behind the metal desk sat an older man. He wore a black turtleneck jumper, one arm of which was pinned up onto his shoulder to cover a missing appendage. His face was scarred, and he looked rough. He wore an eye patch, which was dirty and frayed. His hair was white, thinning, and long, resting just below his shoulders. He was balding on the top of his head, which was very scarred. His stubble was long and white. He had half a cigar hanging loosely from his mouth, and a tumbler full of whiskey in his hand. He looked at Julia with his good eye, and it chilled her to the bone. He reminded her of Ebenezer Scrooge, and now she couldn't get that image out of her head.
So, you're scavengers, eh?
Yes. We are just looking for supplies, just to help us get through the next few days, that's all.
Bit well equipped for scavengers, aren't you?
We do what we can, you know. Take what we can to help us survive.
Oh, so you were planning on taking from us then?
Oh, God, no. We didn't know anyone was here. We came here hoping to pick up scraps, that's all.
Maybe we can spare some things and send you on your way.
That would be great if you could.
Or perhaps you'd like to stay. Join our little community.
Oh, that's a kind offer, but I think we would prefer some supplies and to be on our way.
Oh, I see. You'd like some supplies and to be on your way. Okay, well, you see, that might be a bit difficult. Because you've wandered into my home, uninvited. And now, you want to take some of my shit?
Hold on a second, You offered us some of your shit. We never said we were going to take any of your shit. We never even planned to do that.
Did I offer? I don't think I did.
You just said...
What? What did I say?
The man stood up from the desk with a wobble and made his way around. He was missing his right leg, which had been replaced by a metal prosthetic leg. He picked up a cane from next to his desk and limped over to Jake and came face to face with him. Their noses barely touching. The man curled his lip in disgust. The smell emanating from him caused Jake to reel back. The stench of smoke, whiskey, and putrid body odor clung to his nostrils.
Well, what did I say?
Step away from me, old man.
Jake, don't.
Jake, is it? Listen to your leader. You should always listen to your leader. They will never steer you wrong.
Listen, don't pay him any mind. Seriously, we can just go and we'll forget we ever saw you.
Oh, you would do that? Well, that's just great. We have... no problems at all. You can leave.
Really?
Yes, of course you can go. Just through that door there. Go right ahead.
Richards, stop.
No, seriously, he can leave. On you go, Richards.
As Richard reached the door, he tried to claw at the handle, but the man removed his pistol as quickly as he could and fired a shot. The bullet ripping through the back of Richard's head, sending it smashing against the metal wall. His body crumbled to the ground in a heap, a thick pool of blood emerging from the exit wound on his face.
Jesus fucking Christ!
How
fuck!
Stupid do you think I am? I know you're not just a group of scavengers. I know you're from the Reborn. Probably best not to wear your community's logo on your clothing.
How did you know about the Reborn?
I know all about you lot. Living underground like a colony of rats. trying to outlive the dead, hiding away from what is really going on, avoiding the inevitable. You don't know what it is really like to survive out here. You don't know what the world has really become. A cesspit of rot and decay.
And you do? It seems you have a pretty solid life here, hiding behind the walls of the stadium, blocking out the world. Looks like you lot are hiding too.
Tell me, do you know what it is like to be bitten by one of those things? Do you know the feeling of your flesh being pulled from your bones while you're still alive? The feeling of teeth popping your flesh? Or how about the feeling of dragging yourself away from a pack of those wild monsters, and once you get far enough away, cutting off what is left of your infected limbs before the infection takes hold? Or how about the feeling of being betrayed by the one person you trusted and being left for fucking dead at the hands of those fucking things out there? I was found by a group and taken here where a community was just starting. It was small, but soon we took in more people, and it started to grow. After some time, I felt stronger and became leader after the previous leader stepped down onto the concrete of the car park below.
So let me get this straight. You were left for dead by someone and you got bitten. Cut off your infected limbs and survived. Came here where you recuperated and then overthrew the hierarchy and took over.
That's about right. The someone was leader of a group called the Crows. We were a group of soldiers who tried to help people. But he was corrupt and left us all for dead.
Julia, that wasn't Pete from a group called the Crows.
Seriously, I am not going to tell you again. Shut up!
Sorry. What was that? What did you say about the Crows?
He didn't say anything.
I was asking him. What did you say about the Crows?
I didn't say...
Without taking his eyes off Jake, the man placed his pistol against Tina's head, who, as soon as she felt the barrel of the gun, began to sob loudly.
Something about Pete, was it?
No! No!
You said, wasn't Pete a member of the Crows? Would that be Pete Kirkman?
Come on, man! Please! Please!
Come on, please.
Shut the fuck up! Come on, Jake, speak up! My old man ears can't hear you!
He pushed the gun harder against her head, now face to face with Jake once more.
Fuck! Okay, yes. Pete Kirkman, he's with us.
Anyone else?
What?
Anyone fucking else?
No! No one else!
Bullshit!
His shot rang out, sending Tina to the ground with a thump, blood spraying all over Julianne on the walls. The man's face was splattered with a crimson fluid, but he did not flinch. He just licked his lips, allowing his tongue to absorb the dripping blood.
Jesus!
No! No! Danny Cunningham, your little brother Carl and Roach, they were all from your group.
And what he sings fuck? Like a canary.
I'm sorry, I don't want to die.
Don't worry, you're not going to die, Jake. I need you for something. On the other hand...
The man hit Julia with the back of the gun, snapping her head back with a recoil.
You get to go free. You get to go back to Pete and tell him his good friend Abbott says hello.
Fuck you! You psycho!
That's the spirit!
He continued to hit her until she was no longer moving, blood dripping off the gun. Julia lay lifeless on the metal ground, barely breathing. The man gestured for the guard to come back into the room, who grabbed Jake and led him out. The man followed, slamming the door shut behind him, leaving Julia alone, unconscious on the cold metal floor of the container. Her breathing slow, labored, but still present.
The Fallen, an Eerie Earth production. Written and directed by Kieran Beck. Starring Beth Eltringham as Julia, Dorian Todd as Jake, Matthew Bellis as Richards, Benjamin James as George, and Rick Oldroyd as Abbott. For more information on The Fallen, please head to eerieearth.com and be sure to catch up on Season 1 anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye for now.